Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Howson's Brew, and as you may have guessed, Stephen Howson's not here, but don't worry, we've got even better people on the channel.
I thought you were Stephen Howson.
No, there's no need for that. Straight from that sort of insult. It will be back soon, though, so don't fret. But we've got Joe Smith. How are we doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good.
Looking great today, Jay.
I'm all right. Oh. But, you know,
interesting.
It's not all been great news today, has it? We're going to get into the news in a little bit as well. And we've also got Abdullah, my old partner in crime, bro. How's it been?
It's been good. I think it's like a year and a half since I've last done anything like on YouTube or...
Already, people in the comments saying, man like Abdul. Abdul, yep, it has been a long time before lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's before lockdown.
Yeah, so loads of love for Abdullah in the comments. Get involved in the comments. Hit like, hit share, hit subscribe if you're not doing. This podcast as well is sponsored by Manscaped. And there is a code. You can get 20% off if you use the code Howson. There's a link in the description. I'll be getting into some more info about that a little bit later on. But first of all, we're going to get into the topics. And the big topic, as you can see from the thumbnail, there's a big sort of October injury, sort of inverted Switzerland flag there next to Marcus Rashford's head, because the news has broke that he is going to have the operation that he's needed for about 3 years on his shoulder, I believe. So that means he is going to be out for October. And things are getting a little bit worrying for Manchester United, aren't they, Joe? I'll start with you in terms of who's going to be available for the season opener against Leeds, because the COVID scare that we had isn't a COVID scare anymore, is it? I think that's been...
Well, it's not a first-team COVID scare. Okay. Laurie Whittle tweeting that there's no first-team players, apparently, that have got it, which doesn't mean that no one's got it. It just means that none of the big boys have got it.
Yeah.
And that also doesn't mean that none of the big boys will get it, because they may well have trained with someone who's got it and show symptoms in 4 or 5 days and then get it. So, but hopefully... It's that someone from the academy or maybe a coaching staff member or just a staff member that's got it, which means less disruption for the first team. Obviously, hopefully they're still okay, but like, you know, they probably will be. But even so, that still disrupts things. It's given us one less pre-season game, unless they sort of organise some sort of behind closed doors thing, which is very possible. But as far as we're aware, that isn't happening yet. So it gives us one less pre-season match. The players who are coming back on Monday basically get 2 weeks and then it's the start of the season. It's going to be a pretty tough one, this. And as we've said before, Leeds, probably the most intense team in the league, or certainly right up there. One of the fittest teams in the league, certainly right up there. And they haven't had quite as much disruption to their squad for through the Euros and Copa America as we've had, and then the Olympics as well. So they're going to be pretty much full fitness, other than maybe, you know, Calvin Phillips and a couple of others. And we're going to be... people coming back from COVID, one less pre-season game, and the bulk of the squad only having 2 weeks. So it's going to be a tricky one, and that's why, you know, we're going to be talking about our sort of starting 11s for that game, how we think United should line up and can line up for that game. But obviously no Marcus Rashford till October. That's assuming everything goes to plan, goes perfectly. It's a three-month recovery, supposedly. So, could, you know, we wouldn't be surprised to see that go into November, which is Champions League time. So it's going to be a tricky one. It's going to be a difficult start to the season for United.
I'll just read out a brief statement and then ask you a little bit about Marcus as well, Abdullah, because I know You absolutely adore Marcus Rashford, don't you? Of course. I always think, you know what, I love your tweets because, you know, find you a man that loves any, you like Mark, like Abdullah loves Marcus Rashford. He will have not have any slander towards him, will you?
Like,
100%. 100% sticks up for him all the time, and I'm all about that. United have issued a statement saying, following consultation between Marcus, the manager, club medical staff, and specialists. Marcus will undergo surgery imminently to resolve his shoulder injury. He will now focus on his rehabilitation in order to return as soon as possible. Abdullah, what do you make of this? Because, as I said earlier, you love Marcus. He has been playing with injuries. He sometimes doesn't get the credit he deserves for playing through that. Are you glad that he's going to get surgery finally? Are you worried that we're going to struggle without him? Because he is a massive part of Manchester United.
I think just getting Sancho's deal out of the way towards the end of the Euros. Obviously, we agreed whilst England was still playing. I think it was Ukraine at the time. So it'd given United a lot of time and Marcus and everyone else around the situation to evaluate that, you know, you're going to have that player coming in who can play on the left. So I'm not as worried because I've seen what, you know, Jadon Sancho can produce on the left. He seems to be more of a goal threat, where he seems to provide the goals more, you know, more the assist and creating stuff on the right. So I think he'll slot in there fine, and it's just about whether it's Mason that comes in on the right or whether, you know, Martial finds some form on the left. So in terms of, you know, going into the season, I'm not overly concerned because I'd rather get a fully fit Rashford, you know, end of October, just as things start heating up. You know, the crucial games going into next season, they're always going to be around March when you're looking at the Champions League knockouts and whatnot. So we can just gradually take on that first period and, you know, chop and change things. You know, James, Martial, Greenwood, some of those players were guaranteed starters for us and had done well in patches. So, you know, one of them's surely going to, you know, maybe have a run here and there. And then you're going to have Eddie Cavani as well, who looks raring to go. Like, I think the energy he's brought into the team has been good. He's really hit the ground running. So I'm not massively concerned with when Marcus is out, getting through that first phase of the season. The issues is later on. Hopefully he's ready for that because that's when games start getting tough. We've seen what he's done in the past, you know, that run that he had around October, December, which is a bit weird. Like, that's when he's coming back against Spurs, City a couple of seasons ago, where he just looked like Cristiano Ronaldo, like young Ronaldo, like just taking players on with confidence, taking shots, getting into dangerous areas, you know, playing off the shoulder a bit more, not taking on the mantle a lot on the ball. And now with Sancho coming, Sancho will do more on the ball work, hopefully, and just allow Marcus to show what he can do in front of goal, which we've seen over the last couple of seasons, but getting more shots, getting more opportunities. So, like I said, getting through that first phase, I think it's not the worst thing. We can get through it, but later in the season, hopefully he's ready for that. And it's the best decision that him, his team and United and everyone around him have made. You've just got to get him fit because you might have that issue for a couple seasons if you don't sort it out now.
That was one of the things they were talking about, wasn't it? Well, about how they were not surprised, but they were like, well, do we get the surgery? Because it hasn't healed. Like, he's had it since, when was it, November last year, which is close to 8 months now, and it hasn't healed, which then you start to think, well, we have to do something here because otherwise he's just going to have this.
It's affected his movement, hasn't it?
Like, his running, his ability to challenge for the ball, his sprinting, his top speed. He can't pump his arms through properly. Like, it affects so much. And then your balance as well when you're putting your arms out trying to push off someone for
the most
gain
obvious one
protection
was the left footed shots. Like, the amount of times the season before where I started seeing improvements on him, like, I think there was one in Europa League where he just like roofed it with his left foot. I forgot what team it was. It was like a dead rubber, like Europa League game, but I started seeing improvements with him having shots on the left and take. Last season, as soon as he chops in, he's like almost stutters a bit and just like, nah.
And that one against PSG back, where he was racing the defender and he went shoulder to shoulder and he just slowed right down and didn't even try and go past it.
It's obviously a big part of anyone's game, but especially with Marcus. And we've seen him, he's a strong lad as well. Do you know what I mean? We've seen him throwing Van Dijk about and other defenders, even Kyle Walker, remember the Etihad?
He
tried to go shoulder to shoulder with him and just end up flying. So you can't take that out of his game. Played 64 games last season for club and country, Marcus Rashford. That's ridiculous.
That's about as many as you can play, really.
I think that is. Well, it is pretty. It's the maximum, almost, isn't it?
Pretty much,
right, because we got to the semi finals of the Carabao, quarter final of the FA Cup, the final of the Europa, and obviously the final of the Euros. I know he didn't play every game in the Euros for England, but he obviously played some part. So, it is a full on season, and I think we are going to miss him, but I'm glad he's getting it done because he obviously needs it. And also, I'd hate to see in 3 or 4 years' time Marcus is knackered. because we've seen it with players before. I mean, you know, Sean Major, but like Norman Whiteside, I know it's a bit extreme, but he was done by 27 because he just kept getting played and played when he was injured. And I'd hate to see something like that happen to Marcus Rashford, because you look at the records as well. If, you know, the records of the young teenagers who've done well for Manchester United, it was like Mason Greenwood broke Marcus's record, which is previously old, I think, by Rooney, which is previously, it was Norman Whiteside who had it. So it's easy for young players to get burnt out, and I'd hate to see that happen to him.
What about, here's a little addition for you, and you can, you know, tell me this is pie in the sky thinking. What about if he, when he goes under surgery, you know what, for these one-on-one shoulder battles, let's give him a little bit extra. Comes back next season. Do you know when they're racing the cars on Greece at the end?
Yeah.
And it's got that fucking like metal thing that's spinning that like drags up the side of their car. If he just, he's just sprinting next season, about to go one-on-one with like Pereira at Wolves, Leicester, just two little blades come out of his shoulders. Is that legal? Is that okay?
If they
were subdermal at the point of kickoff, then they probably can't stop him.
See, I was worried you're going to say something silly, like what they did with Wolverine.
No, just two little extended, so a little flap falls down and a little blade just comes out and spins around, and then you go shoulder to shoulder, fucking frazzles whoever it is.
And I think, I've not looked at the rules recently, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing in the regulations against that.
Yeah, because it's not a weapon. It's not a weapon because it's built into his body. Yeah. It's not on top of the skin. Like I said, it's subdermal.
Yeah.
This only comes out for special occasions.
Yeah.
And he's going to fucking shred some shoulders, let me tell you that much.
It'll be mint.
If we're working on Rashford, I think you got to get Mitch in there as well. Like, inject him with something.
Yeah, because he's like, do you know what people always, like when you're a kid, you're like, when I'm 70, I'm going to do heroin because I won't care about my life then.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing with Matic. He's nearly done. One last ride. Give him some fucking wheels. give him like some laser eyes and just inject him with all the steroids in the world.
He's always so good for like three or four games. Yeah. And then by like the fifth, sixth game, he starts like losing his marker and it starts looking sluggish.
Get him out of Monster Stars in Space Jam.
If we had a prime Matic now, we'd be set.
Yeah,
we really would.
Imagine, we got just 25-year-old Matic now.
We'd actually fancy us for the league, but you know, we haven't. So we're going to have to make do.
I'll recommend it to the doctors anyway.
We are going to go into our... We're going to look ahead to the Leeds game, obviously, season opener. We're going to pick our starting 11. Just before we get to that, though, as well, there's sort of pictures and posts of Rafael Varane saying his farewells to Real Madrid. Obviously won the lot there and then some. Seems like a popular player and a nice guy as well, and he's sort of been saying his goodbyes. What do you make of that, and how much are you looking forward to seeing him at Old Trafford?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, he could not do it, could he? He's been there a decade.
Yeah, most players
he's
do,
one of their best players. It's not like he's like, you know, whoever leaving.
It's good to see him leaving though, like that though.
Oh yeah, and obviously all you know, none of this sort of bitching and taking the piss and, you know, hate this and fuck you and see you later and glad you've gone, all that. It's very amicable. It's done the right way, which suggests, even if it's sort of a facade, it's put on for PR. It suggests a little bit about his character as well, which is respectful. Someone that understands the sort of what he's been through at Real Madrid, everything they've done for him as well, the fans, the players. So I like seeing that. And it's good that you're getting someone who's got a bit of class to him as well. Again, it might just be an idea by his agent. We should do this, put it out on social media, who knows? But either way, they've done it, and it's better that they've done it than not done it.
How much are you looking forward to seeing him, Abdullah?
I'm buzzing for the side. I didn't think we'd like get him. Like, I thought it was just like it'll be paper talk again, but when I've watched him over the last couple of seasons, I do feel like something's missing there, and it could be like him just mentally wanting to be challenged. Because, you know, when you've won four Champions Leagues, when you've won three of them were in a row, you've won the World Cup, you've won everything that you'd want to win.
Yeah.
You want to be taking that step. And obviously, we've heard a lot about like how he's looked up to Rio Ferdinand, and United were close to signing him before he joined Real Madrid. And it's, when do you ever really get a player at his peak off Real Madrid? It's always like they've got Rude off us. I know we got Di Maria after like that phenomenal season that he had in the Champions League, arguably one of the best players in the world that season. But other than that, you never really grab a Real Madrid player at that level. And at 28, when you've watched defenders over the years, any sort of player, not just defenders, players can have dips like in their career. They'll have a year or two. Only Ronaldo and Messi are the players that you look over 10, 15 years. They're just smashing it every season, like in terms of records or whatever. And it's very normal. And I think he can revisit that form and find himself again.
I guess you'll probably see more of him. But from what I've seen from like Madrid fans online and on Reddit and people who will have presumably watched pretty much every game of him, some people saying that this sort of dip is slightly over-egged as well. Like, he's made a few high-profile mistakes, but that's kind of it.
I agree.
He's not actually been... He's not been shit for 2 years. He's, like you said, he's just been a bit of a dip.
A lot of the mistakes he's made, I've seen him make in the past. And that's... The thing is with Varane,
they're not getting covered by winning Champions Leagues and stuff now as well.
Exactly. And it's just players... It's like Diaz for City last season. Like, I honestly thought Stones was, like, the more dominant, like... centre-back over the for City over the season. And if you said that, everyone would have been like, you're mad.
Yeah.
But then when he had that one Champions League performance against PSG, everyone was like, the best player in Europe. Like, the best player in the Premier League, all this. It's like, if you don't have those games, and like,
iconic
again, Varane
games.
Had a bad game in the Champions League, that's when everyone's watching you, like the casuals are watching. That's where everyone generates that opinion. And it's like, even when I'm watching the NBA, like weirdly enough, I don't watch a lot of it, but that's when like, I'm watching it as a casual.
What happens
and
in the playoffs?
I'll say something about a player, then I'll be like, no, he's like... Yeah.
Well, that's
good.
The thing with like Maguire.
That's what it is.
That opinion has grown around him that he's like one of the best centre-backs in Europe because of the Euros. But he's been like this since, certainly since Christmas. Should we talk before we move
just
on?
Just before we do
go
that,
on,
I'm just getting some chat. Stephen Wilcox, we're talking about the front three here. There's a bit of chat going on about who's going to start against Leeds, which we are going to get into. Stephen Wilcox says, I think it will mainly be Martial, Cavani and Sancho. Sadiq Dutta says, got my salary today. Should I buy the new kit? The new kit's out. What do you guys make of the new kit?
Do you know what? In terms of whether they're good, I think they're both great. I think
the
they're
team viewer
really
thing,
good.
Like, just it's a bit weird, but the designs around that, like, sponsors just ruin everything these days. But the design around it isn't that bad, especially the away one.
Yeah, I think they're good. Like, I think that third kit, if the rumored one, the dark blue one, I like that as well.
I like that. Yeah,
I always like a dark blue kit. Yeah. I think they're my favorite.
Dark blue ones are sick.
Before we get to our starting 11, should we talk a little bit about the sponsor, Jay?
Yes, let's do that, my friend.
I think that'd be a great idea.
I think it is a great idea. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier at the start of the show, we are sponsored by Manscaped.
Yes. Get in! Come on, Manscaped, you bastards!
And do you know what the good thing is about
Get
Manscaped?
In!
Joe's very excited about Manscaped, and he's every right to be excited, because they've just launched their fourth generation performance package.
One for every Champions League that Rafael Varane has won.
Exactly.
Especially for Varane. That was the reason.
I think that's the thinking behind it. Yeah. I thought they looked at
Varanescaped.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Manscaped. Perfect package. Come on. Go on.
So,
lawnmower.
The lawnmower. Right. Joe, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think it's 1.0?
I mean, I tell you what, I'd be happy with 1.0. Because they only make top-notch stuff, Jay.
Decent.
Yeah.
No. I think it's 2.0.
You're getting crazy, wasn't it? What do you mean 2.0?
2.0 is very good. No. What about 3.0?
It's silly. That's as many Champions Leagues as Man United have won. European Cups. That'd be crazy.
It is crazy because it's 4.0.
What are you even saying, Jay? I can't even count that high. I thought after 3 was just infinity. But no, they've isolated the number that goes above 3 and they've named their Manscaped Perfect Lawnmower, whatever it's called, the Lawnmower after it. Honestly, right? I had the Lawnmower 3.0. They were like, right, the 4.0 is coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, let me throw this into the fucking sea.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, wouldn't even affect it because it's waterproof. So
exactly. Which you need
I've got egg on my face. And then the 4.0 turns up.
Boom. The 4.0. And also, when we're talking about this Manscaped Perfect Package, it is a package. It's not just the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which, to be honest with you, is phenomenal.
That'd be enough.
I mean, I'd be happy with that. But you've also got performance boxer briefs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
When I say performance...
Yeah.
Our lass is shaking at the knees when she sees me in them.
I know, I've heard.
And that's not because she's got any sort of, you know...
Let's not go there. We've got the weed whacker.
Yeah.
Ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yeah.
I'm at that age. I'm not going to lie to you. That's something that I'm interested in. It's something that I need.
Fucking clean around
if
there.
If I'm going to keep my lady friend happy, that's pretty important, because if she sees it, hair coming out of my ears and nose, she might dump me.
Especially if they're over, if you know, if they're long hairs.
Exactly. If I'm doing a comb over from my nose
that's
my
what Jay used to have to do.
Yeah, over my bald head
with
my ear hair.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Yeah. She's not having it. So thankfully, I've got the weed whacker nose in the ear trimmer.
Go on, keep going.
That's all sorted. We've got the crop preserver.
Yeah, now this is where I get involved.
Ball deodorant.
Yeah. So you come out the shower.
Yeah.
Normal deodorant. Yeah. Then you go, actually, one of, and I hate to say this, one of the places on the body most prone to smells, and we're ignoring it. Because if you spray normal deodorant on those bad boys, my word, does it sting. So that's where they've got the crop preserver, they've got the crop reviver, and they've got the crop duster as well, which are all, you know, one's for get out of the shower, put it on. One's, you know what, I'm on a night out, got a nip home, going to go back out. Let me just pop a little update on there.
Yeah.
That's what I call the Windows update.
Yeah.
Because it schedules and it releases new odours into what can otherwise be a pretty stale environment, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So they've got all sorts going on. And what they have to do to get some sort of, what are we offering them?
What we're offering them, all of this. You get 20% off,
yeah.
Free shipping.
Yeah.
All you've got to do is use the code HOWSON. So that's 20% off and free shipping just using the code HOWSON.
Yeah.
There's a link in the description. Uh-huh. Go and check it out. As Joe said, you've got the fourth generation cutting edge lawnmower,
technology. Is actually genuinely brilliant, by the way. Yeah. That's what I use to trim my balls once every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Keep it tight in there. Yeah. Keep it nice and tight, especially around this time of year. The more hair you've got, the more chance you've got of sweating. Keep it tight, keep it trimmed, look good. It's the year of the, you know, first date, let's call it that. Yeah. You've got to be looking good down there.
You've got it, all this comes, yeah, your toner, your deodorant, your weed whacker, all that comes in a little travel bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to walk from my car into my house and I get Mrs. to film it like I'm getting off the coach.
Get a pair of headphones on.
Yeah. And then I give a little thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then I go upstairs and shave my balls.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Yeah. And then really good. It adds to the effect.
Put a captain's armband first, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you shave your balls. And you go, captain is being clipped. And then don't come in! Don't come in! Don't come in!
What are you doing?
Piss in the sink!
I'm just shaving my balls.
Piss in the sink if you need it.
What are you doing? There's another bathroom downstairs. That's why we moved.
Oh, sausage. Right. Two bathrooms.
Well, right, we've got
you
three.
Go to Manscaped, link in the description. Use code HOWSON for 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you.
They will indeed.
Right, let's get into our bastard teams then.
Moving on from all that important messaging to some equally important messaging about Manchester United facing Leeds United. I mean, this is one of the big games of the season. Don't forget that. Yeah. Leeds are up there with the Cities and the Liverpools in terms of
toxicity.
Yeah, hatred. We obviously battered them last season at Old Trafford. This season, we could be going into this game in a bit of either, to be honest with you, because we're missing quite a lot of players. Now, we've all sort of given our teams and who we think. This is who we think are going to start, yeah, Joe?
Well, this is who we want to start.
Or is this when you've done this, is this your predicted 11 for the Leeds game? Because we have this every time and you discuss this. Or is this who you want to start?
Well,
put Marcus in, but he ain't going to.
Well, no, but that's not. No, but you wouldn't want an injured Marcus to start.
No.
Right, so what are you in about?
Right, then if I want. All right, then I want Pogba to start, but is he going to be there?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so, because he's in mine. Anyway, we've all picked our 11.
It's a simple question. Is it your predicted or you preferred 11?
This is how I think we should line up.
Well, is this... Right, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Right, do you think this is the team that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to pick?
I think this is who he should pick.
But will he, though?
Who knows? It's the future, mate.
Do you think he will? I'm asking you.
I'd love to think so, yeah.
Right.
So elusive. So evasive on every question, aren't I? Just get into the teams, all right?
Right.
Listen, we've all picked a team each. Here's what we think.
Right, okay. Thank you for that.
And get yours in the comments as well.
We'll start with you, Abdullah, because he's doing me head in.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the team that you think is going to start against Leeds, yeah?
Yeah.
Season opener at Old Trafford. We know we've got players who aren't necessarily match fit. We've got players who are injured. Obviously, Mark is having his operation. There's one or two question marks over whether certain players will even be here. So we've got some graphics as well. We'll start off with your team. Give us your team starting from the back. Who have you gone? I mean, even the goalkeeper is up for debate because we don't know if it's going to be Dean Henderson. Is it going to be David De Gea? Is it going to be Tommy Eaton? Has he got a chance of starting? You've gone with David De Gea.
Mm. Yeah, I think I would have gone with Henderson, but obviously, there was something about him being injured, like with his hip or whatever.
Right, okay.
So I'm unsure about his fitness. The back four, I think, just, you know, picks itself sort of thing. If Varane gets that...
Look at Varane on that. That's the first time we've had him on a predicted 11 graphic.
Amazing.
It's beautiful, isn't it? In the new kit as well.
That looks like such a strong back four, isn't it? Like,
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
That,
I hate to say it, but beautiful.
Midfield's where it gets a bit iffy. That's for me... I was really unsure, like, when I was writing...
So you've gone with the 4-2-3-1 here, haven't you? 4-2-3-1.
I think Ollie's going to stick with it. I think that's sort of Ollie's system, and he's just going to stick with it. the reason I've gone with Pogba and Matic is...
Yeah, when come on, explain Matic then. Is it because you're expecting those augmentations that we talked about before to actually come into place?
I feel like...
Wheels, steroids, laser vision.
I don't want to expose what United are trying to do.
You know, you've been speaking to the medical team.
Because I'm trying to see us win something. But on a serious note, I think with just Matic, whenever like he's been fit and United have got him up to that level, he seems to get more games. And I feel like post-lockdown, the first time where we had Pogba and Matic...
Brilliant.
Arguably, like our second best run under Ali, compared to when we first started with him, I think that midfield was like quite dominant. The only issue I've got is it's high energy. You have the likes of Calvin Phillips. The way that Leeds play is going to be very difficult. That intensity as well. Like you said, we got Bamford, who's not really played. Rafinha didn't even go to Copa America, who I think is a brilliant player. So those players have been very well rested. My issue with that midfield is again, it's just. I probably would go one of McTominay and Fred in there, but the balance. But I think if you got Matic with a full preseason, fit, ready to go, gets rested for last game of preseason or whatever, and he has played well in preseason, he's done all right. And Pogba, so I think Pogba's going to end up staying. Like United, I don't think we're signing a DM, and obviously we can't put any player on there. We're going off who we have right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if Pogba signs that new contract, then we're not going to sign a defensive midfielder, and I can see us starting the season like that. Maybe James for Greenwood's what Ollie goes with, but something along those lines.
Legs on Matic though, doesn't that worry you? It's a big sort of leggy midfield, that, isn't it? Them two.
I think it's when we were speaking before, at the start, and we were saying how 3-4 games you get off Matic that are really top. He looks like one of the best defensive midfielders around in the league, and then with that fall off when he just starts losing his man. Things that just start, he's really sluggish on the ball, reacts too slow. Those come later. And I feel like when he's in top fitness and top form, you can get really good high energy games from him. He can be dominant. He can control things. He can play out the press well. He can do everything you'd want from a really good defensive midfielder. So I think Ollie might catch him in that sweet spot at the start of the season and play him. And we've seen him and Pogba, like I said, in that first post-lockdown. So that's from the midfield. I think the only question that I've got of the forward line would be James, because Ollie seems to playing him against Leeds because that high energy.
Same with McTominay as well. He likes McTominay, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's the same thing like that. To be honest, like I said, I expect the midfield could change, or James or Mason. Mason hasn't been spectacular, I think, in preseason. No.
Yeah, I think he's holding himself back a little bit. I think he's fully going for it.
The occasion. I think he's
just sort of taking it a little bit slower. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's a bit chill.
I think I'd expect him to raise his performances for the Premier League stats.
We'd need him to.
You can tell he's not sort of going hell for leather. And I think there might even be an element of that, of just get your match fitness, going and then you'll be ready. Because we are going to be quite reliant, I feel, on Mason Greenwood. Just someone in the chat sort of talking about, on the back of what you were saying, with Varane and Maguire, we don't need a destroyer CDM, as 90% of the teams will sit back against us. We need someone who can distribute well, tenacious, can switch play and release our quick forwards.
And that's can do from that. Yash. Matic.
Very true. Aaron Dixon says the media is questioning how Varane will do. He's laughable. If City or Chelsea signed him, it'd be a big statement that would make these teams unstoppable. There has been some nonsense about Varane joining us.
Chelsea signing Thiago Silva last year. I mean, I think quite rightly there was a bit of questioning. Excuse me, he's 35. He's been playing in not an easy league, but a less challenging league than the Premier League. Certainly, I don't think anyone would argue that for 6 or 7 years he'd been at PSG. He came in and was brilliant for them last season. We know it against Old Trafford how good he was. So I don't think it's necessarily just, he's come from another league, so he's going to be shit. But obviously, any transfer can have its ups and downs.
I think the side of the game that you can question a defender that's coming into the Premier League is that aerial dominance, that presence. And I think that's always been one of Varane's best things.
Brilliant,
and even in the period where he's dropping off, you can see his aerial success rate has actually continued to go up.
As good as Maguire's, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the air, he's as good as
Maguire. You have two of the best players in the air in Europe.
Yeah.
Sensational. Defensively, offensively, and on the ball. Yeah. They're very competent. We see that switch that Varane likes to make sometimes out onto the flanks, onto the left side, onto the fullback or the winger. That's something that Luke Shaw or whoever can benefit off that. And Maguire, we've seen his ball carrying ability. And someone made a very good point in the comments about the Matic thing, and United can sort of play on that front foot. You're just pushing Maguire and Varane up there. You've got Wan-Bissaka's pace. You've got Varane's still a quick defender. So again, I think we could just end up stumbling upon one of those midfielders and having a good season because our defence allows us to now. Just that extra security at the back with Varane.
Go on then, Jay. Shall I look at your team?
Oh,
I really like
then.
That team, by the
no,
way.
No, I do.
Just Matic is the question mark.
It's the same as me. Like, I am unsure about it. It's just,
I like
I feel
it,
like though. When he's in that top fitness, he sometimes gets the go ahead.
Yeah, that front four is ridiculous.
It's just last goals. Like, goals.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's something special. Like, it's got a mixture of everything, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Everything you could want from an attacking lineup.
Yeah. They can create goals for themselves. Yeah. They can get on the end of things.
Yeah.
Incredible creativity with Fernandes and Sancho, two of the best in Europe
at
creating goals.
I think the balance of that three behind Cavani is what usually you want in a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
You got sort of that high risk taker in Bruno. And then you got Sancho, who I feel like is more of like that competent, like, sort of creator where he gets into the area and makes that perfect decision and why, you know, he's up there as one of the best creators in Europe. And then you got Greenwood who likes to take a shot. So there's a balance there of like different styles.
And makes chances
Cavani.
For himself really well as well, Greenwood, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Like he'll have like mad shots from the edge of the box or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Jay, what you got? What you got for us?
Mine's a little bit different than Abdul, as you can see there.
Jay, what you done?
What do you mean, Watford?
No, I'm only joking.
Okay.
I'm only joking.
Listen, right. There's a method to my madness.
I like it.
Right. What you're not seeing on that
there's
graphic.
There's method to the Matic.
What you're not seeing on that graphic, right, is our bench.
Fantastic
our
argument.
Our bench, right, would be the greatest bench in Premier League
and when they do
history.
That, and when, do you know?
Yeah. Think about it. Think who's not there and who could be on our bench.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
Yeah.
Like Sancho. Cavani, Sancho, Pogba,
Martial,
Van der Beek, Bailly,
De Gea.
Mate.
What a bench. On. And do you know.
And that's what matters.
And when they do the seven aside bench versus bench game
exactly.
to decide the 3 points, we might have a chance.
Do you know what I mean? Think about it.
Right, go on then. Let's have a talk about
it. No, I've gone with Dean Henderson. You said he's injured. Which
there was, but he had like a hip injury thing in it. So he's probably.
I know he
fit,
came out of Euros early doors, but I've gone with him. I think he'll be fit for the Leeds game.
Because
we'll
I thought he'd play in preseason.
Yeah, I know he's not. He's not really. He's been heating and Grant, hasn't it? Yeah. I've gone with the back four, which everyone else has gone
the
for.
The back four.
Yeah. The best back four in the league, shall we say, probably. I've gone for this. I think Oli will go 4-3-3 eventually. I just don't think it'll be this game. We bring in another DM. So I've gone with McFred. I think McTominay had a very good game against Leeds last season. I think he'll be in this team. Fred had a decent Copa America, didn't he? Oli still likes him, I think. I don't think they've fallen out or anything there. If he's fit, I think he'll be in for this, and I think he'll want him in there. Because you saw how Leeds played at Elland Road as well, and he sort of packed the midfield a bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I think that'll be in the back of Ollie's mind.
McTominay Fred game, isn't it? Like a McFred game.
So that's why I've gone for them. I've gone with Anthony Langer. Now, this is a bit of a wild card choice because you go, well, where's Jadon Sancho or where's Andy Martial? I'm just feeling that he might not start his strongest team in terms of who's available. He might pick the players who've played more football recently. Mm-hmm. Anthony Langer, as we record this, has played, I think, every pre-season game so far. And he's looked good in them as well. He's looked sharp. He's scoring goals. Mm-hmm. Ollie's praised him. So I just feel he might have got into that conversation where Ollie's thinking, all right, for this game, I'll give you a start, see what you're made of. And then, you know, might just give him 45. So I'll give you half and then you can bring out one of the big guns. So that's why my thinking behind Anthony Langer, because it is a bit of a what? No Jadon Sancho.
I think Ollie's made those type of statements. You know, players like he's just like randomly like we'll start him and it won't surprise me.
Yeah,
like,
I just feel that might be purely based on like the factors I've said of match fitness and stuff like that. Obviously, if this was a cup final, I don't think Andy Langer would have been in over Jadon Sancho. Bruno, I think if he's fit, he plays.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah, and he is fit.
Yeah, and I think he'll want to play. He'll want to start as early as possible because he'll want to get amongst the goals and assists as early as possible.
He wants to be top of the leaderboards at the end
of the season.
Doesn't
he? You can see he's got that in him.
That's one of the reasons he wants to play every week, because he wants 30 goals, 20 assists.
100%. He's got that in him.
Yeah.
So he'll be fuming if he's not playing and we get a penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be raging. Dan James, again, I'm going a little bit off what happened with Leeds last season. Dan James played very well against him. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we saw him play the other night. I think he might be match fit again, and he's someone that Ollie knows can do a job against Leeds. I think is it Alioski or whoever it is who he's up against.
Yeah.
I think I know he's on the right on this side. I've got him on the right. He can play on the left, but I think he'll get the nod for the similar sort of reasons as Elanga, in just terms of match fitness, getting at Leeds with some pace. And then if you need to change it, you've got some fantastic options on the bench. Mason, you were talking about him pre-season. I feel like he's just sort of gradually building himself up, and I think he'll start. I just think he'll start the season opener. Mm. Whether he's going to be first choice this season, I'm not so sure. I think that if everyone's fit, with the addition of Sancho, and when Marcus comes back from his op, Mason might not be.
He's got to make a statement somewhere on the pitch, whether it's on the right or up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's got to. I think he's got to like improve aspects of his game, like quite clearly as well, to take either Cavani's role or Marcus's or like whoever's role in that attacking line.
Yeah, so it's obviously, you know, it's not our full strength.
Yours is a very sort of realism.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel one thing that's sort of in the back of my mind here, and I'm just guessing that Ollie might be thinking about was last season against Crystal Palace, we played pretty much the strongest players who were available, and it backfired.
Because some of them didn't even play in pre-season.
No, they didn't have a pre-season.
We already had the game.
Paul Pogba had COVID, and it was just like, Palace looked like a team that was just far better and quicker and fitter than us.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether that's in the back of his mind, and he thinks, if I play my fittest team, I've still got enough quality to beat Leeds United, and also I'll have the best bench anyone's ever had, so and I can just bring on five.
Do we know if there's going to be five subs next season?
I'm not sure.
Is it back to three? Have they announced that yet? Right.
Did they ever switch it in the league? Was it always like five in the league? Or I don't think the Premier League ever had five.
Maybe not.
I've just seen Adam McCullough's. I've seen two comments from Adam McCullough. Jay's been back on the drugs again. And then he's put on a serious note. I get his thinking.
Yeah. Taking the piss, but also being kind.
Yeah. And then he's coming again, but players haven't been out for that long. He's just having an argument with himself now.
Yeah, he's talking to himself.
Yeah. Get involved in the comments. Let us know what you think. Do you think it's going to be the strongest team? Oh, what? Do you want to go?
I'd like to have my team, please. You've gone realism. I have gone electric fantasy. Check this
See,
out.
This is why
Check
I've got realism. Because we need a bit of balance on this channel.
Oh, look at that.
Joe's got Brian Robson and Roy Keane in midfield.
Brian Robson, Dennis Law up front.
Talk us through your team.
Henderson, Shaw. I mean, that Henderson and De Gea, it's kind of toss of a coin. He costs a lot less money. I think he's a more sort of modern style goalkeeper, commands his box, more comfortable on the ball. I mean, even though he gives it away, he likes having the ball at his feet more than De Gea does. I just think that makes more sense. The back four, no deviation on that unless there's an injury. I don't think that sort of, you know, that picks itself, doesn't it? And I'm the first one to implement the famous 4-3-3 that Ollie's supposedly going for this season. I've gone with Fred because he's the most willing to track back. He's the most sort of nimble, sort of energetic and quickest in there in terms of covering ground and, you know, he's not particularly press resistant, but because he's so quick, because he can cover that ground well, I say quick, over sort of 5 yards is a lot more agile than Matic is. And I think with the two with him there, Pogba and Fernandes, I think you need someone in there that can really cover the ground.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be wanting to get forward. That's the thing. They're not going to be sitting back. It's not going to be three defensive midfielders. It's going to be Fred, you stay there, and we'll get back when we don't have the ball. Bruno Fernandes, Paul Pogba. Again, like you said before, this is picking based on who we have at the club now. Paul Pogba might not be there. Right, we might have someone else to replace him. We might not have anyone to replace him. But he plays for Manchester United, and he's one of our better midfielders. So let's put him in. And then that front three, Sancho, Greenwood, and Cavani. There was some argument in my head about having Martial on the left, Sancho on the right, maybe, you know, just having Greenwood giving him some time off. But I think Sancho's so good off the left that why put Martial in a position he's not really played for, you know, 18 months, and then you're moving, that means Greenwood's not getting a game. And whereas Sancho played plenty of games on the left-hand side over the last 3 years. He's very good there. Keeps Greenwood in his sort of, not necessarily preferred, but most practiced right-wing position. And then you get Cavani up front. And I just think the goal that was disallowed against Spurs last season, you know, the Cavani one.
Yeah.
Just the sensational free kick. Oh, no, it was ball in, Pogba, Cavani, great run, and they just passed it past the keeper. I can imagine that sort of thing with Sancho from that side. His intricate passing, his decision-making in the box, his awareness of players. Cavani's movement in front of Sancho is going to be unbelievable next season.
It's a good point, isn't it, with the Sancho thing.
Yeah.
He thrives off having that perfect movement, Sancho. Yeah. And when Haaland joined Dortmund, he instantly saw that from the first game, from the his debut, Haaland, was just Sancho finding him. And then in the Champions League, I think the Sevilla game where they interplay and then he finds Haaland. And I think if you put an elite striker, and Cavani is an elite striker, even at this age, a lethal striker, Sancho's going to know when to release that ball. I think he's a lot more of a clean creator than Bruno. Like, Bruno's like very like all action, like he'll just throw the ball in front of you into the space, and you need that sometimes in the team. But I think United have missed that clean creator, and if you're putting it right on a plate for Cavani, then you're going to get a lot of goals off him. And
he's more in that, like, sort of matters in that kind of mold, isn't he? Where he's like, I'm going to pass a 5-yard ball, but it's going to be on the pinpoint every single time for you to walk onto. And yeah, and Sancho with Cavani's.
One thing I wanted to ask both of you, all three of us, no one's picking Donny van de Beek. Even though, like,
even as a laugh,
we're sort of going with a team that sort of isn't our full strength or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you feel he's going to get many opportunities this season? Because I know obviously this is season opening, it's a little bit different, all better off. But it's weird because I was thinking back to that Crystal Palace game where he came off the bench, got a goal, and that was probably the highlight of his Premier League campaign.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, he's like, he barely played that season or last season in the Premier League for us at all. And didn't really get going. Do you reckon, I'll start with you, Joe, do you reckon he's going to have much of a chance?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Especially if we're going 4-3-3. I think that opens his options up a lot more, because sometimes in the six, or not in the six, but playing as a double pivot, I don't think he has the awareness to play that deep sometimes. I know he can do that, and he's done it before, but I just think it didn't seem to suit him. And again, with the 10, when he's playing in behind the striker, you're just thinking, this isn't Bruno, in terms of output. He's not getting the goals. He's not quite as... Like Bruno, like you said, the ball comes to him and he just hit it. And he just lobbed it over the defence. Yeah. He's just chipped it into a space. He's just so action-heavy, Bruno, whereas Van der Beek's a bit more measured, a bit more considered, a little flick around the corner, a little, you know, a bit softer approach, whereas Bruno just batters the door down with, I'm just going to hit the ball forward every time I get it, and hopefully I get an assist today. But I think in a slightly more box-to-box capacity, I think Bruno could do a lot better. We saw, was it the Newcastle game, where we scored like 3 goals in the last 10 minutes? Was it? And he came on in that game with just some nice touches and flicks and that build-up play on the left-hand side. It might not have been that game, but certainly
he had a good game. I think it was against Southampton. Yeah, he played very well. He's not like he's not capable of playing well for Manchester United. We know what we saw from Ajax. I just wonder whether he's going
to
get
fair.
A chance.
Yeah. Like when he sent asking for the team, I remember just thinking, does Donny get a game here? My thinking was, I don't actually believe we'll start with a 4-3-3 at the start of the season.
Yeah,
like Jay mentioned, this it could be a gradual thing. Like eventually, he comes into
that. I do feel like that's what Ollie wants to do. And Adam McCullough even is in the chat. He's given his team. He's gone Heaton, Shaw, Maguire, Varane, Wan-Bissaka, Fred, Pogba, Bruno, Sancho, Martial, Greenwood.
He's not right. Get that graphic off the screen a sec. Right. Adam McCullough.
Yeah.
Have you seen what he's calling Tom Heaton now?
Heat one.
Because he's number one, because he's saying he's going to be United's first choice.
He commented earlier,
December.
Maka,
Heat
right.
one. Because he said, it's a bit like heating, but with an E on the end. And he's saying that he's going to be the number one by December. What do you make of this, Abdul?
He said, hang on a minute. He said, a propaganda.
No!
Wait a minute. I want to read his comment from before. He said, heating in net, Martial up top, 3 points, 21 is coming.
Adam McCullough genuinely believes that by Christmas, Tom Heaton will be Man United's number one goalkeeper. And he's made a 50 quid bet with Freddie Quinn that's going to happen. What do you make of that?
He's mad.
I thought you were going to give me the benefit of the doubt. I thought you were like, well, I could... Because he thinks that...
I love Adam's optimism, though. Yeah. Like, it's always...
Was that optimism, though? I think we're going to drop our two main keepers. I think that's a 35-year-old former Villa reservist.
I think that's almost crippling pessimism is what that is. We've got this guy on 370 grand a week.
For those two, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like you're saying, the highest paid goalkeeper ever, and you know, potentially England's new number one, and they both dropped for someone who was warming the bench last season. It might happen. We'll have to wait and see. Mac is pinning his flag to that mast.
I see.
It's not optimism; it's actually pessimism.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's factual.
I've seen him doing a very good job of explaining his Heat one joke in the comments. By the way, so he's put HEAT. And then one, and then after that he put Heat one, like really sort of spelling it out for everyone. So come on, Adam, mate.
Adam's got a bet on, so like a big bet on another one. Just on Heat and starting the season.
Who did you go for?
You
went for David De Gea, didn't you?
I went for De Gea just purely off Henderson apparently having a bit of an injury.
But do you feel Henderson?
I feel like Henderson just because of that dominance, dominating his area, and I think I've instantly seen progress in Maguire and Lindelof's play last season when Henderson come in terms of just them feeling comfortable, not waiting for the keeper to come and get it. And
me too.
Very like assured in their approach. I'm with you on that. So that's why I feel like Henderson will start.
It just takes a job off the defenders. Like, I know it seems easy to, well, Terry's about shot stopper, Henderson's made mistakes. But it's basically like saying, do you know when you two have to come into the 6-yard box to clear the ball away? You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
How good's that as a centre back to hear that?
Yeah.
If it's in the 6-yard box, it's mine.
You just know he's just going to come and he's just going to clap. Yeah, whoever's in front of you doesn't care. He's getting that ball.
Yeah.
And when you've already got two, like, aerial beasts in Maguire and Varane, and I feel like that just, like, teams can't really mess about with you in that when you're just going to lob a ball like your Sheffields and stuff like that last season where we've had those weird goals conceded. They're not just going to lob a ball and wait for it to drop somewhere. Yeah. Like, United will deal with those as long as, like, we're coached well to deal with them.
Yeah.
Maguire and Varane are more than competent.
Definitely.
It is, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because there's so many different sides to this argument. You look at what De Gea's done. You look at where Henderson has been up and coming. And it's just one of those as well that I don't think either of them shone last season. It wasn't like Henderson was like perfect.
He didn't, no, he wasn't stunningly good, was
he? In the way that you're like, oh, you can't drop him. But he did just about enough for me, for the reasons that you guys have both mentioned, to put himself in that conversation. Lots of debates going on about Tony Marshall. I think that's probably because Macca's been pointing out, you know, how much he loves Tony Marshall. Big season for him, isn't it, this season,
yeah,
Tony Marshall. You said before, I think that you still see him as a striker. You said you don't see him.
No, it's not that I don't see him as a left winger. I think, I mean, other than the one year where he got 23 goals, he's played all his best years on the left-hand side. But I just think that he hasn't played on the left for nearing 18 months now consistently because he was, you know, pretty much exclusively a striker for the last 2 years. So not even 18 months longer, sorry. I just think we're just going to pop him back out there when we've had Jadon Sancho getting more goals and assists than Martial ever got from the left.
Yeah.
Why mess that up? Why just sort of force Martial into a squad that, let's be honest, he hasn't earned his way into in the last 12 months?
Where do you think Martial's going to figure this season? Do you think he's going to get many games? And when he does get them, do you think they'll be on the left or down the middle?
I think playing on the left, a lot of that depends on how he combines with Luke Shaw. And I've not really seen that when he has played on the left, which wasn't on many occasions recently because of Marcus playing on the left and Martial playing up front. But I think it'll be up front, man. Like, I just feel like it'll take, because at the end of the day, in the wide positions, I feel like it's going to be Greenwood and Sancho. Like, when Marcus is not around, it'll be Sancho on the left, and he'll just take that role. He can go inside, he can go outside. He's a lot more direct, a lot more comfortable. Over what last season or so, Martial, before that sort of groin injury a couple of seasons back when he first burst onto the scene with United, a lot more electric, can take his man on a bit better. I feel like when he had that post-lockdown form of just scoring goals, he's sort of taken that nine role. But again, there's a lot of work for him to do. And hopefully he finds his form, because when Marcus comes back, then Ollie's got a headache and how he can shuffle players around. And we've got a lot of options. One player gets injured, we've got serious
talent. You talk, Abdul, about shuffling players. And we've seen it last season with the likes of Sancho, with Greenwood, with Martial, with Marcus when he's fit. They can all play anywhere almost amongst that front three. You might even end up, we saw some swapping over.
Gives you tactical Sancho flexibility
as Greenwood
well.
Greenwood or Martial, or do you know what I mean? It might not necessarily be like that regimented. It's something that Ollie might want to look at. Joseph Zam in the chat says, Martial needs a chance on the left and McTominay with Pogba. So I think he's saying as like, that's your two in deep midfield. It was weird, wasn't it, last season? Because Pogba was playing on the left, only sometimes, and Marcus was on the right. I just don't like Marcus.
I don't want to see that again. Right.
That's one thing I don't want to see. With Martial, I understand, like, obviously, 23 goals in one season down the centre, you know, the new number nine and all that. I just wonder if Cavani does hit the ground running and does stay fit, if Martial is going to have to move over to sort of find a place in the team, because he might not be able to get in that team. I don't know, Cavani can't play every week, but we saw his form towards the end of last season especially. It's a nice problem to have, isn't it, for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because we feel like for the first time in a little while, we've got options.
Yeah, it's great. It's always seemed to either be sort of, we've got loads of strikers, or we've got loads of left wingers, or, well, we had loads of right wingers in years, but there was a sort of there was a point when we had Sanchez, Rashford and Martial all fighting out for the left wing. Then we had Valencia on the right wing. Then we had Lukaku and then Martial both fighting out front, and Zlatan as well. You know, but now it's like we've got Rashford, who's, I think, just best off the left. Yep. We've got Sancho, who really can play number 10 left or right, but presumably will be playing on the right due to the lack of right wingers in the rest of the squad. You've got Dan James, who can do both. You've got Martial, who can play left wing or at front. You've got Greenwood, who can play right wing or at front. And then you've got Cavani, who only plays at front. But we've actually got multiple options in each position for the first time in a decade.
Yeah.
It's a great position to be in.
It really is. Just going to wrap that up there. Abdullah, where can people find you? Other than back on this channel, hopefully, more regularly.
just waffling on Twitter here and there, to be fair. You'll
What's your Twitter handle?
Abdul, I think, GH underscore. Just very simple.
He thinks.
it is.
Obviously, takes a lot of attention what's going on. Pays a lot of attention what's going on Twitter. Joe, where can people find you?
JoeSmith93 on Twitter and Instagram.
Also, big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this video. Make sure you go and check out the code. It's HowSoon. You get 20% off. Free shipping. Yeah. Sorry, terms and conditions apply. Just check it out there.
Were you going to say postage and packaging then? Like it's 1998.
Is that not a thing anymore?
It is, but people don't say it.
It was a pun.
It's a very. It's postage a very. That's more English. In America, we've taken the shipping.
We're just shipping now. Yeah, so go and check them out. Thanks for them for sponsoring us. Thanks to Abdullah for making his reappearance on the channel.
It's been
good.
It's
been too long, has it? And you know what? We've not even done a joke about you being in Paris for that Paris Saint-Germain game, have we? We've gone the whole show without doing it.
That's felt me more welcome. You can't mention that 10 times.
We're better than that. Make sure you're hitting like, share, and subscribe.
Get your 11s in the comments as well.
That
sorry.
Notification. Do you want to say it?
No, you do. I'm sorry, Jay. Right. I'm sorry, sir.
Jesus wept. Hitting that notification bell as well. Right, go on. What were you going to say?
And make sure you get your predicted 11s in the comments as well.
Right, get your predicted 11s in the comments. Let us know who you think is going to be starting against Leeds United for Manchester United. That's been Joe Smith. That's been Abdullah. I've been Jay Moy. This has been Stretford Paddock, Howson's Brew, without Stephen Howson. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.